Today's TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Ameritech Property Management, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
Everything.
It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hearing only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Well, we're now in hurricane season, folks, so today's topic is all about getting ready for the big one, and you know, we're definitely overdue. So we're going to talk about getting ready and prepared, and how much food, water, clothing, and other necessary supplies you're going to need on hand at all times, especially during hurricane season. Where's the nearest shelter and evacuation routes? Should you have an inventory of your personal property? And what about the important papers, such as your insurance policies? And most importantly, what's going to happen to Fluffy or my cat? How about my bird? Are there pet-friendly shelters and what can I expect? That and much more right here, right now on the Ameritech Connection.
Hello, everybody. Our guest today is Brian Johns, and he is the CEO of Trinicon Restoration and Reconstruction Company. Brian's worked in the disaster restoration industry for 32 years, and he's been involved in coordinating response and restoration efforts for major hurricanes throughout the country, and he's been doing this for the past 20 years. Very impressive, Brian. He's also one of the highest credentialed restoration contractors in the U.S. So welcome to the show, Brian. We really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, welcome to the show, Brian.
Okay, Brian, so let's just start off with what is the first and most important single thing to do to get ready for a hurricane? Because, you know, there's just a long list of things that we want to do. So what would you say is the most important?
Well, Sharon, as anything in life, if we expect to be successful, we need to have a plan and we need to have proper preparation. So in the event of a hurricane, we need to be properly prepared and have an accurate and detailed plan that we follow, as well as a basic emergency kit.
All right, that makes sense.
So emergency supplies, for example, Brian, such as food, water, clothing, toiletries. I mean, how much are you going to need? And you know, I'm sure that's different between whether you're staying or you're evacuating. So maybe you can kind of touch on both ends. I know if you're staying at home, I guess you can have everything pretty much at home but be prepared versus going to some sort of a shelter. Would you?
Yeah, that's correct. And so if you're looking to evacuate, it's also going to be contingent upon where the storm makes landfall, how devastating that storm would be, what direction you're heading in. So you're going to have factors that come into play relating to how long am I going to be away from my home and what did my home experience, you know, in the process of the storm. You know, if you're looking to travel, you know, necessities, medications, food, mm-hmm. non-perishable items, absolutely. Such, same thing at your home.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so what are some of the different things that you should focus on when it comes to food supply, for instance? Because if there's no power, then what about your refrigerator and your freezer items? You know, that's going to be a problem.
Well, that'll be dependent upon whether or not you have a backup generator. Ideally, if you have a natural gas or an LP backup generator, that's a helpful thing. If mm-hmm. you don't, and most people really don't, then non-perishable items, canned goods, items that are easy to prepare, possibly even a gas grill that you can do some cooking, maybe a camping grill that you can use a small LP to do a little bit of cooking.
Make sure you have a manual can opener too, right?
Because there
for
those
canned goods.
Yeah, you got to think of everything without power, right?
Without power.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, as you know, water is a necessity for survival in every aspect, and I think you would agree with that, obviously, but it's bulky, it's hard to carry, large quantities. So, I mean, what are your suggestions on water? I mean, especially if you're on the move.
Well, if you're on the move, pack a cooler. You know that you have a destination, and ideally that destination is going to have power and is going to have the basic necessities that you need. If you're going to be at home, then, you know, it's recommended, you know, a gallon a day per person. Maybe a 7-day total would be a good amount to store on hand. You can utilize and store water in your bathtub, but make sure that that bathtub is sanitized before you do so.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. So that would be, because if you're not evacuating, you've decided to stay home, and many of us make that decision. It is, you do have a good supply of water, so you do fill up your bathtub, as you just said, but are there other ideas that you can give us?
What about the pool?
I mean, what about the pool?
Is the pool something that you can kind of drain from if you need water?
You should drain your pool. You should take a foot or two out of your pool. You should highly chlorinate your pool beforehand. That way, as you have an excessive.
Well, obviously, if power goes out, then, you know, you're not going to be cleaning your pool on a regular basis. So that's probably going to turn green relatively quick. But can you drink the pool water? I mean, is there something you can do to drink the pool water if it came down to it?
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that.
Well, it might give you some bathroom
problems.
What
about a salt water pool?
Yeah, I would think that it might give you a little bit of issues.
Yeah, a little bit of
What about a salt water pool, though?
I would probably not recommend that. I think you're
the expert, Brian. We're just asking to make sure that we're on the same page.
I think you should just use a little bit more of your garage space and store a little bit of extra water.
But seriously, if you took the water from the pool and you boiled it, for an example, I mean, you couldn't use it?
Technically, I would think you could.
Yeah, if you have power, yeah.
I mean, they have those, I think they're called those filtration systems,
mm-hmm.
Where you can actually buy them. I think it's under emergency management supplies. And it literally will filter, technically, swamp water almost down to, 99.9% pure. I think you drop a little chlorine tablet in there and, I think you're good for it. So, I mean, there's all sorts of other ideas, I guess, for water, especially if you're on the move. Now, what do you do if you're on the move?
What do you do if you're on the move?
you can't carry the water, right?
Well, you should have some supply of water, but ultimately, if you're on the move, you're heading to a destination that will be sufficient for you to sustain
your
family.
So
yeah,
maybe a water filtration system, like I said. I think the Catatron system, I think it's a pretty good system. Okay. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Not really, but any survivalists, obviously, that technology is out there, and that would be a good example of it.
Yeah, okay. I got a question. Clothing is very critical when it comes to staying warm and dry. So what do you suggest that the average person have on hand? And I'm kind of thinking that ladies can leave their heels behind.
Their heels?
Their high heels behind.
Their heels and a few other things.
And
behind,
maybe
right?
a few other things. But what do you think?
It's more like long johns, right?
Well, I would think that, I would think that would be how important their heels are to them. I mean, some ladies really like to have their heels with them.
Well,
trucking
through a very wet, grassy area, I'm sure that would be very appropriate, especially in a hurricane.
I would agree.
I see Bobby's laughing over there.
I know someone probably would take them before the water.
leave the cat behind and take your heels, right?
But that's
right.
Joking aside, I think clothing is really critical, and staying warm, especially during a hurricane, is something that you really need to be concerned about. Especially if you're at a shelter, right, Brian?
That's correct. I would think if you have a 5-day supply of clothing, that would be sufficient. There's an enormous amount of information on the Pinellas County Management website relating to an item such as that as well. It's really going to be personal. You know, what do you feel your necessity in that situation is going to be? Is it 3 days? Is it 5 days? Is it 7? Yeah, I think that people can make
right. So your suggestion is certainly, and I think it's a good one, is go to the PinellasCounty.org website under Emergency Management Services. So it's PinellasCounty.org Emergencies. Okay. Yeah. So to all our listeners, that's what we'd like you to do. Take a look at that. One other thing real quick is what other types of supplies would someone need? You know, I mean, obviously, if there's no power, we're going to need flashlights. We're going to need matches, maybe candles. Any other suggestions you might have, Brian?
Batteries, obviously, first aid kit, cash, no power, no ATM, you know, no credit cards, no debit cards. I'd recommend a 7-day supply of cash to suffice, especially if you're on the road. You can pretty much count on those 7 days, because even if you go to certain areas in Florida, you may have certain systems that are down.
Right. Now, I know we talked earlier, you mentioned bring a good supply of medication. I mean, especially if you have blood pressure medicine, how many days would you recommend, and any over-the-counter stuff you might want to bring, such as maybe Benadryl? Or something that you know, especially if you get bit by a spider. I mean, I'm sure in a hurricane season, you know, all sorts of little critters are going to start coming out. And so any suggestions on how many days and what other types of medication that you might need? Even if you're not on medication, you still want to bring something, at least over the counter.
Sure. And I think, I'm sorry.
Advil
for sure. Maybe some Valiums too, right?
Yeah.
Well, especially if you're walking in the heels, you might need the Advil.
Good point.
Yeah. Pretty much across the board. And I would consult your medical, physician as well on this, but 7 days is pretty much the standard answer that you'd have relating to medication, and Benadryl certainly would be a good thing to have on hand.
Yeah.
As
so
you said, Mike.
How do we, let's talk about a plan, and how would we put that in into place where we take care of family members with the special needs? I mean, you know, how would you suggest we go about that?
Well, the Pinellas County website that Mike mentioned a moment ago, they actually have a registration document for special needs people. And primarily that special needs document and registration is for transportation to a special needs shelter. So I'd highly recommend if you have special needs to go ahead and register so the fire department and the emergency response knows where you are, who you are, so they can come get you if need be.
Okay. All right.
Right. That's good information.
Yeah. So we should probably gather all of our insurance papers. And so what I'd like to know is, what are the key insurance items that we should be aware of?
Well, the key insurance items are going to be part of our disaster plan for our family, obviously. This is really where my expertise comes into play, is dealing with insurance losses and when they occur. Really beforehand, check your coverages. Make sure that you don't have a lapse in coverage. Make sure that it's intact.
That it's totally enforced, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got some policies that you're lugging around that are absolutely worthless, is what you're telling me, right?
Sometimes I have some customers we run into that have no idea that their insurance is lapsed.
Yeah, it's not something that you look at, you know, until you do have a.
And then I think you should look at also what the coverage amounts. Proper coverage amount, deductibles. I mean, I know wind has a percentage, I think, for a deductible, right?
That is correct.
And what is that normally?
It'll vary. Typically, you'll have a 3% or a 5% deductible on the insured value of the property. So understanding how that deductible comes into play in a windstorm and a named storm situation will be important. So that way you're not surprised if you have an insured value of $300,000 home and you have a 5% wind deductible. Understand that your deductible is going to be $15,000,
right,
opposed to $1,000 or $2,500 in a normal daily loss.
Right. So that's something people should probably plan for, at least from a financial standpoint. At least have some sort of, you know, you might have to cash in an IRA or an annuity or whatever the case may be in order to kind of satisfy that. Now, flood is also very important coverage, right?
Yes, it is. I have it myself.
You have it yourself.
Yes, I do.
Now, it's important coverage whether you live in a flood zone or not. Maybe you can kind of touch a little bit about that.
Well, flood situations can be tricky when you're mixing in FEMA and the FEMA-backed policies and your normal windstorm policies with your carrier. They can be tricky situations. It's something to also understand that most of the flood policies that are in place are an actual cash value policy opposed to a replacement cost value policy. So it's good to understand the dynamics of that as well, because there's depreciated amounts that will be applied to your structure and certain aspects of your home.
Well, flood, because it's backed up by FEMA, there's certain things. I mean, it's limited. I mean, there's a cap on that policy. I mean, regardless if you got a $10 million house, I mean, what are the caps? I mean,
my understanding, my cap is $250,000.
Okay, so you're going to get $250,000, and that's it.
That's it.
Now, let's take this as a hypothetical example. You get the wind comes by. You know, we got a windstorm that comes by, and it rips the roof off, but then floods the inside of your home. Does flood cover that, or is that covered under your regular habitational policy?
Both.
So, interesting. Well,
you're going to have two policies that are going to come into play there. If you've got storm surge and flooding that's affecting the lower portion of your house, let's say you have flooding that's 2 feet up, 3 feet up, 4 feet up, you're going to have that flood policy intermingle, and you're dealing with that. You're dealing with the windstorm policy at the same time. So both policies would come into play.
Right. You know, I've always found it puzzling, whereas if you live on the water and you're on the 20th floor, yet your mortgage company is requiring you to get flood insurance, I'm saying, but, you know, I'm never going to see water. I mean, really? I mean, if I see water, the building is not there. You know, or in fact, all of Pinellas County is not there if some of these high-rises up on the 10th floor. I mean, what's up with that? I mean, what's the rationale behind being forced to buy flood insurance when you live on the 10th floor?
Well, I think you have a bigger issue, like you're saying there, if you're worried about flood insurance on the 10th floor. As far as that's concerned, I really wouldn't be an expert in that. I would direct that to, you know, an insurance professional relating to the necessities involved and why the carriers would insist on that.
Right. All right, let me ask you this question. Hypothetically, we got a hurricane coming by, and it's in the box, and, you know, and you need to evacuate your home and go into a shelter. What is your recommendation on securing your home? I mean, for example, shutting off the water, the gas, the power, before you actually evacuate your home. I mean, what are some of the things that you should do, or some of our listeners should think about doing if they're going to leave their home, and getting their home prepared for a hurricane?
Yeah, definitely shut down the utilities, your supply lines, shut down your gas, shut down your water, etc. Turn your breakers off. And also, outdoor objects, patio furniture, hanging plants, toys, bikes. You know, Johnny left his bike out in the yard. It's probably a good idea to go and grab it.
Yeah, just secure all those exterior items.
You know, if you have garage space, put them in the garage. Mm-hmm. You know,
what about your pool furniture? I mean, everybody, I've heard that you're supposed to put it in your pool, but then others say not to do that. What do you think?
I would put as much as you possibly could that could be windborne debris. That could either cost human life or property damage inside the structure if it were me. I would put it in the garage if I had the space to do it.
So it's not, I mean, that's kind of a bad recommendation by people saying throw it in your pool. I mean, is it secure in your pool?
I don't think that it's a bad recommendation to put it in your pool. It wouldn't be my personal preference, but I wouldn't say that it's a hazard.
Right. Such as yard deco as well. I mean, you see a lot of yard deco out there. I mean, that becomes projectiles in a hurricane. So, you know, definitely that's got to be put away.
I have seen some pretty wild projectiles.
I bet you have.
I have.
You've been in quite a few major hurricanes too, haven't you?
I've been in numerous major hurricanes. I'll give you one quick example. Hurricane Ivan, actually, the storm surge was so intense that cars were buried.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's obviously not a windborne debris example, but the intensity, when you have the top of a car and you're standing on the ground in the top of the car, you're stepping on the top of the car because the car is literally buried in the ground.
Wow.
I've seen all kinds of various items, building materials through walls, I've seen homes actually on pilings that are 300 yards away from their original location.
You know, most of us at Ameritech are certified, and you know, we've talked to some of these people that have actually been involved in these major hurricane and emergency cleanup situations, and I hear it's extremely sobering. You know, I mean, not only is it sobering, but it looks like a war zone when you see the devastation that some of these hurricanes can actually do.
It is devastating. It is definitely has the appearances of a war zone because we're so accustomed to, you know, the streets being pretty and, you know, our life, you know, as it is on a normal daily basis.
Right.
And then when you see that, you're like, all right, well, what happened here? You know, it's depressing. It's sad.
Right. You know? Now, windows, certainly securing windows is part of what we just talked about. Any suggestions on windows? I mean, is it wise? Do they have such a thing where you can buy a window and it's like hurricane proof, the actual glass itself? I mean, does something like that exist, Brian?
Versus putting the shutters on,
yeah,
right?
Actually, we're a window distributor. So, yes, we install impact windows hundreds and hundreds a year as well. So, yeah, you will have an impact laminated glass. You'll have 150 mile an hour windborne debris.
Screens as well, from what I understand, are impact resistant. Or you can purchase screens that are impact resistant. Yes, no? I see your head going, you know, kind of up and down, sideways, all around.
No, I would say let's stick to the laminated. Let's stick to the laminated.
It's not spinning. But anyway, so
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. All right.
Little bit.
Well, I tend to ask questions that tend to spin heads, right, Bobby?
Yeah, it happens.
I mean, Bobby's head. He looks like the Exorcist sometimes as he's going around and around. Anyway. How important is a disaster plan, and what is a disaster plan? I mean, can you just kind of touch and elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I would say that a disaster plan is absolutely vital. We live in Florida. We are looking at a situation. Eventually, we're going to deal with a storm. So, if it's a single family home and it's just your disaster plan for your family, it's just as vital as a large commercial facility or a large condo community, HOA. You know, the elements of a disaster plan, document your home, take pictures, an inventory, all of your personal property, have all of those vital documents that you need, your birth certificates, social security cards, etc. Have a to-go box of your valuable items that you want to take with you. You know, You're not going to leave valuable jewelry and such at your home. You're going to take it with you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so it's all about preparing, like the first thing we talked about. It's you either prepare for it and you have a detailed plan, or you may not be very successful in an event.
Well, Brian, that's some really, really good information. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. I know we got some callers on the line, so we're going to get right to you right after this break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Joe owns his own business and, like you, is bombarded with hundreds of insurance offers. Joe can't decide exactly what or how much coverage he needs. Joe called Aegis Insurance Group. Joe met with an Aegis business advisor, and together they designed an insurance program specifically for Joe's needs. If you're confused about your insurance needs, call Aegis Insurance Group. Aegis, insurance protection tailored for you. Call today. 1-855-227-0262.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey! What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. For those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Brian John, CEO of Trinicon Restoration and Reconstruction Services. And we're talking about hurricane preparedness and what to do before, during, and after a hurricane disaster. So, Brian, tell me this. Should you plan on multiple evacuation routes and destinations? I mean, obviously you're going to get those routes, but, you know, when everybody's evacuating at the same time, I'm sure you're going to want to have some sort of alternative route. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree to have multiple evacuation routes and also be keeping an eye on the potential direction of the storm and the changes that can take place and continue to alter your evacuation routes. And simple thing there is if you're going to choose to evacuate, do it early.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, Bobby, let's take some questions. Do we have any callers on the line?
Yes, first we have Julie.
Okay, Julie. Hey. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. Julie, what's your question?
Hi, how you
guys doing? Hi, Julie. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's your question today, Julie?
I'm not sure if anyone's already called and asked this. I just hopped on not too long ago, and I just moved to Florida at the beginning of this year, and I was just wondering, what types of emergency supplies should I have on hand at all times, you know, especially during hurricane season and big storms that come to the, you know, Florida area?
I think that's a good question, Brian.
Sure. I would say you definitely need to have a radio, flashlights, a good supply of batteries, first aid kit, cash, non-perishable food items, such as peanut butter, canned items, tuna, crackers, canned fruit, et cetera, et cetera.
Something that's not going to spoil, I guess. Anything, you know, that you can think of. Mm-hmm. Twinkies, ding-dongs.
Yes, anything that you like. The sweets.
Yeah, I know Bobby loves ding-dongs, don't you, Bobby?
Yes.
Bobby, I think you were eating a ding-dong while you were trying to answer that question.
No.
Now, should I be, say we don't get a hurricane this year and I have all this stuff in my house, should I, you know, make sure that I check the dates, or should I, you know, get rid of everything and start over new the next year, or keeping everything, all my supplies together?
Absolutely. Definitely check your expiration dates. Try to buy some products that you know you have an extended life on the expiration date. And same thing with your batteries. Check the expiration dates on your batteries.
Yeah, and the crackers. If the crackers get spoiled, you'll be eating on some very stale crackers.
Well, and it could be even a bigger disaster if your ding-dongs are...
Oh, yeah. Don't let those ding-dongs or Twinkies get... you've had a ding-dong, right, Bobby?
Yes, I know.
I mean, they're good. I like the ding-dongs.
All right. Hey, now I'll tell you something. That radio that you have needs to be tuned to 106.1 so that you can't miss a show. Well,
absolutely.
Go.
In fact, it needs to be tuned definitely to 106.1 or 1340 AM, and you'll get all of the emergency information. That's a good plug. I like that, Bobby.
Very good. I'll make sure to do that.
Julie, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
And I hope we've answered your question.
Yes, I wrote it all down. Thank you so much.
All right. Bobby, we got another caller online?
Yes, we're going to go to Sarah now.
Sarah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question, Sarah?
Well, I'm sure you get a lot of questions about pets, but if I'm forced to evacuate, I'm not leaving my house without my dog. Do they have such things as pet-friendly shelters?
Yes, they do. Once again, you can go on to the Pinellas County Emergency Management website, and you can pre-register your pets. And there are three different locations in Pinellas County that have pet shelters.
Oh, there are three different locations?
Yes, there
are. Do you have those locations handy?
I do. There's one in Clearwater, one in Dunedin, and I believe one in St. Petersburg.
So they would what, go online and actually register?
Yes, they would. You would pre-register, and I would highly recommend you pre-registering, and that would be part of your disaster plan.
Yes.
Well, I have one more question.
Sure.
If I do that, what do I bring for my pet? Like, what resources should I have?
Well, I mean, other than food and water, of course.
Well, let's see. Ding-dongs would certainly be my first choice.
That sounds like a food.
Potato chips, you know, all the things that dogs love.
Yeah. what are they? The
dog treats.
Sorry, Sarah, we're joking a little bit here. I know this is a serious situation, but certainly you need to bring some food.
Leash. I mean, you got to make sure, because there's going to be other animals there, and you don't want your dog getting upset or being attacked by another one. You want to be able to keep it close to you. So.
Some doggy bags. You've got to clean up after your dog once you've taken them out, you know, outside the shelter, I'm sure. You're going to want to, you know, take care of your dog in that regard. Any medicine that your dog might have, you know, if he's an older dog or whatever the case may be. But I think for the most part, if you're going on, think about it as you're going on vacation for a week. And you're going to take your dog. What are you going to bring? I would say that would probably be, you know, what you need to think about.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Sarah, thank you for calling.
Sarah, thank you so much for calling, and hopefully we've answered all your questions.
You have. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay, Bobby, do we have another caller on the line?
Now we're going to go to Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question tonight? You're on the air.
Hi, very interesting topic, okay. And we're all going to be afraid of hurricanes every summer.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I've seen several areas where they put tape on the windows. You know, they put the duct tape and they make like an X and, you know, across the windows. Does that really do anything to help?
That's a very good question,
yeah, I know.
And I heard mixed reviews on that.
That, actually, myself.
I don't think it helps, does it, Brian?
The only thing duct tape is going to do is maybe keep some of the glass intact after it breaks. That's about it.
After.
It's not going to provide any protection from windborne debris, so I wouldn't recommend that. I would recommend taking the steps, either have impact-rated window shutters or at least...
Which they sell.
Oh, there you go.
There's a plug for you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Brian.
well, ding dong. anyways, or at least have a plywood covering over your windows and your sliders.
Oh, okay, plywood. That sounds
plywood or the hurricane shutters. Right?
That was a good question, Jennifer. What's your other question?
Well, okay, so. We're in the middle of a storm, and some of my roof shingles fly off, and I start getting, you know, leaks. The water's coming in. Now, does your company come out immediately and put a tarp over? What am I supposed to do when that's looking
for? Well, you're supposed to climb up on the roof and put a tarp over it yourself, no? But grab a rope and hang onto the chimney, I guess. No, I'm just kidding, of course. Brian, what do you recommend on that?
I'm not going to recommend your last statement.
Well, ding dong.
Yeah, and there you have it. We are one of the companies that would provide that service. Your insurance carrier will pay for the tarping of your roof. They're obviously going to pay for the services to secure your property, so there isn't additional damage.
Right, but what about during the storm? I mean, I'm going to be freaking out that the water's pouring in my living room.
I'm not sure what you mean during the storm. During the storm, I don't think anyone's going to be on the street.
Get some buckets, okay. Jennifer. That's about all you're going to have to do. I mean, there's nothing you can do during a storm.
No.
I'm on my own during the storm.
You're absolutely on your own. Find the safest place. Get some buckets out and, you know,
well,
hopefully.
Speaking of that, where is the safest place in the house?
Safest place is going to be the interior. Away from windows.
The bathroom.
Okay. Away from windows. No windows.
There's no bathrooms. There's no windows in your bathroom, Jennifer?
No.
and There you have it. Second two-story home, first floor, middle of the home, typically a room that will not have windows in it or a large closet, those areas. Obviously, okay. If we have breakage, we don't want things.
One last question. Now.
All right, go ahead, Jennifer.
If this happens now after the storm's over, do I call you first or do I call my insurance company first? Do they send somebody else?
Well, I think you'd probably have to, you know, minimize or mitigate the damages. I mean, before you call your insurance company, I mean, I think they expect that. So, right, Brian?
Well, that would be part of your disaster plan as well. Do a little bit of research on the available restoration companies in your area, see who's a quality company, and make them part of your disaster plan. And you would be calling them to come out and mitigate your damages, and then you would be calling your insurance carrier. So they would be one in the same, within the same time period.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jennifer, I hope we've answered all your questions.
Yep, you've been a lot of help. Yeah, I can't do anything if my roof is leaking, but, you know, what can I say?
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Jennifer, and you have a good night.
Okay, great show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Enjoy listening to you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
All right, Brian, I have a question for you. What is an emergency supply kit for your car? I mean, what does it consist of?
I've heard of that thing, but I'm not quite sure what emergency supply kit would be for a car.
I mean, is it other than the flashlights and...
Yeah, pretty much the same things. First aid kit, flashlights, batteries. A multi-tool is good to have, just on hand. Blankets, sleeping bags. Here's something.
Wine cork?
A wine opener? Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a
right.
necessity.
That's my priority.
One thing...
it goes good with ding-dongs, right?
Yes,
I mean, we're on this ding-dong quick kick here, right, Bobby?
Depends on the variety.
He's going to go home and have a ding dong.
I'm sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. One thing I would say that most of us wouldn't think of, since we have phones that control our lives, maps.
Is there such a thing?
There are. I know.
You haven't looked at one in 30 years, right?
Exactly.
They still print them.
Well, I think that's a really good idea. But if we get hit with a real big disaster, I'm sure you're not going to be able to read the map in the streets and everything else, right?
Well, hopefully you're gone. Hopefully you've used the map to
That's a good
go
point,
away.
Brian. I like that.
All right. Well, we're going to take some more questions. Bobby, do we have anyone on the line?
We have Scott.
Scott, hi. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question?
Hey, you guys. You guys are a bunch of ding-dongs. You know that?
I like that, Scott. Yeah. I tell you, you've been listening, huh?
You're
paying
attention.
Well, it kind of made me think. You were asking the question earlier, can you actually drink the pool water? And I was going to say, well, if you got ding-dongs in that pool, I wouldn't recommend drinking anything out of that pool.
Well, you know, if you're like Sharon drinking wine and eating ding-dongs, I think she'd be swimming in the pool at that time, right?
You guys are cool. I like the show. Hey, listen, my question was, when do you actually, you know, if we got this big hurricane coming, we'll just call it Hurricane Van Winkle, when do we start actually evacuating? Is it like when we're told by the emergency management personnel, or, you know, I would probably want to leave a little early because of traffic.
I would definitely leave early if that's the decision that you're going to make for your family. Keep an eye on, you have hurricane watches and hurricane warnings. A watch is going to be a possible within 48 hours. A warning is going to be expected within 36 hours. But obviously, you're going to have the path change. The meteorologists are doing their best job to give you the best information. But, to a certain extent, sometimes it's still a guessing game. But once again, if you make the decision to evacuate, just leave early. I came back personally from Orlando after Charlie. And it took 7.5 hours for us to return from Charlie. So that's
good advice. So if you're making the decision to evacuate, you know that it's coming this way, and maybe they haven't called the evacuation yet at this point, leave early. You got that, Scott?
You got it, guys. Thank you. I'll make sure to store up on a lot of water and a whole bunch of supply of ding-dong.
You got it.
All right. Thank you so much for calling,
Thanks
Scott.
Thanks for calling in, Scott.
All right, guys. Good show. Take care.
Thank you. You too. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Having a digital presence for your business is a vital part of your company's success. ProfitGate Web is your complete website resource center, offering web design and hosting, marketing, video production and media management, domain registration, and more. ProfitGate keeps your site up and running, providing exceptional and, most importantly, reliable service since 1999. Call ProfitGate and schedule your digital analysis today. 727-585-3850 or visit their website, ProfitGateWeb.com.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trial Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at CorlissBarfield.com.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
To the Ameritech Connection. For those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Brian Johns. He's the CEO of Trinicon Restoration and Reconstruction. And today we're talking about hurricane preparedness and what to do before, during, and after a hurricane disaster. So, Brian, if it were you, would you discuss your emergency plans, your duties, the rules with the family? And if so, why?
Yes, I would. And I would do it so they would have involvement. And I would also do it, and we wouldn't necessarily think of it from this perspective, but I would involve the kids, too.
So kind of like practice?
Practice. Mm-hmm. And also, in the event, the kids are going to be pretty upset. So if there's some preparation that's involved in the kids understanding, hey, what are we going through? It might provide some calmness while they're trying to work through.
Well, yeah. They're familiar with it, and it's not something that's new. They've already practiced.
It kind of makes it fun for them as well.
Oh, absolutely, and it makes sense, too. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. All right, hey, Bobby, we got anybody else on the line?
We have Mercy on the line.
We have Mercy on the line. Mercy.
Mercy.
Marcy.
Is it Mercy or Marcy?
Marcy. Go eat a ding-dong.
Marcy.
I'm sorry, Marcy. I ate too many ding-dongs.
Ah, yeah.
Well, listen.
Well, you know, everybody talks about leaving and evacuating. And, you know, I don't want to go. I want to stay with my property and make sure everything is okay. I just don't want to leave. But I am a little concerned about, you know, where to go if something really gets bad. Do you go under a piece of furniture?
Well...
That's a good question.
Well, what do you think there, Brian? Under a piece of furniture?
That's a very good
Depends
question.
On how large that piece of furniture is.
I think it would be the size of the furniture and the size of the individual. I personally would not fit under the furniture.
Well, it depends now. I mean,
you never know.
You'd fit under a bed.
Yes.
I mean, you've been caught under a few beds before. I'm just kidding. Marcy, we're just joking around. I think, Brian, what do you think?
Well, Marcy, I think it's more important to understand the severity of a storm. I know that we would all like to stay home. We'd like to just ride it out and, you know, keep life moving along, you know, as it normally does. But these situations can be devastating. They can be life-threatening. And I think the most important thing is to understand the nature of the storm, the severity of the storm, and to protect your life. So I think my focus would be upon my own health and safety first and foremost.
Does that answer?
Yeah, that's true. Yes. But you know, I guess you feel like you want to protect your property, and you really should be protecting yourself.
But protect your property by having the right insurance coverage. If there's sentimental items and valuables, take them with you. If you've got a stuffed animal that's 30 years old that's sentimental to you from being a child, take it with you. Your property can be restored. Your life can't be restored.
And you can always go to the Pinellas County Emergency Management site, and they'll give you a list as to, you know, the necessities of what you need. Certainly those personal and sentimental values you're going to want to take with you as well, as Brian suggested. So, Marcy?
True. I never thought I could just pack them and go.
Yeah, you could.
I just see myself leaving, and I don't want to do that.
Make it part of your plan.
Make it fun. Okay. It's a vacation that you didn't expect.
And take those high heels.
High heels?
Yes.
And a bottle of wine?
And exactly. Those ding-dongs. Don't forget the ding-dongs.
Mm-hmm. Lots of sweets. Lots of sweets.
There you go, Bobby. That's good. Marcy, I hope we answered your questions, and we want to thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed the show. I think it's a lot of fun, but yet there's a lot of great information, and it helps people like me to think a little bit more serious about a situation.
No, it is a serious situation. Even though we joke, we take this very seriously, and I think my recommendation to everybody would be to evacuate. You know, if you get the word, the hurricane's coming, you know, to be safe, secure your home, and evacuate the property and go someplace where it's safe.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So, Brian, I got a question for you. I know hurricane season starts about June. You know, just to kind of reiterate to our listeners, when is hurricane season? When does it start? And pretty much when does it end?
June to November. Typically, the beginning of the season, we'll see storms that'll come across the Atlantic. Later in the season, we'll see storms develop down in the Gulf and the Caribbean.
I think I remember one year where there was one in November, and mm-hmm. I was pretty surprised.
Yeah, there's been some
devastating storms. Snowing up north, and we're in the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah, there's been some devastating storms that have been late October, early November, historically.
Well, speaking of that, what has been the deadliest and costliest Atlantic hurricane in the U.S.? Do you know?
The costliest, as far as financial is concerned, is Katrina 05, $108 billion.
Oh, wow.
From the loss of life perspective, 1998, 11,000 people died from Hurricane Mitch.
Well, that was in Haiti,
Central
right?
America and Haiti.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. So let me ask you this. If I'm outside the hurricane forecast cone, which that's the kind of the box, if you will, or the circle, am I safe?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. Let's look at it from the perspective, rather, of let's keep an eye on it. And I was just talking about how we evacuated for Charlie in 04. I had small children at the time. Obviously, I'm still a disaster professional. I've been in major events all over the country. Amen. We still evacuated.
Right.
I had small children. Now, Charlie was supposed to hit Tampa Bay, right?
Right.
Charlie went to where?
No.
Orlando.
Orlando.
And everybody left Tampa and drove to Orlando.
I was going to Disneyland. And, next thing I had to turn around.
So I guess the point there is just keep an eye on it. Monitor it because these tracks can change on a dime like we saw with Charlie.
Wow. Hey, let me ask you. There's always this question as to what's the difference between a hurricane and a typhoon. And I always thought they were the same things. It's just the typhoons in the Pacific and hurricanes in the Atlantic?
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. And what about storm surge, and why is that so deadly?
Well, storm surge is going to be the flooding that comes on from the winds driving into the shore. Storm surge depending on the intensity of it, you know, if you look at a tsunami, for mm-hmm. example, and you see the devastation that we've seen that water can create. You know, we saw those videos in Japan.
Well, yeah, but tsunamis are somewhat, to some extent, caused by, you know, underground earthquakes?
Seismic waves.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. But as far as a visual representation, obviously a storm surge isn't to the severity of a seismic wave and what it creates. But from a visual perspective, we can see what a storm surge can do because water is so powerful.
Yeah. All right, can we talk a little bit about cleanup and recovery? What's the first thing you need to do when you come back and, you know, to what's left of your home?
Safety first.
Okay, makes sense.
Do a safety inspection of the home. Make sure that there aren't issues, gas pipes that are broken, electrical issues, glass on the floor. Do a general safety inspection of
when
the,
do
of
you
the
come
property.
Back though? I mean, yeah. Is it, I mean, that's
I guess when they let you back in. But
when they let you back in, mm-hmm. you could have situations where we have the National Guard only letting certain representatives in. You know, there's a group of us that, you know, you have to be licensed, you have to have credentials, you know, depending on whether or not they're allowing people in. Once again, it's a severity situation.
Right. Unless you're in Orlando and then you just go to Disney World and just have a good time and not sit in traffic and come
right.
back a
that's
couple
right.
of days later,
just
right?
Just make sure you pack plenty of ding-dong.
That's right. Okay.
And wine.
That's right. She's the wine drinker.
Red wine.
Hey, Bobby, let me ask you this quick question. What's sure. the difference between a tropical storm and hurricane watches and warnings?
That was a trick question.
Bobby's the guy with his head spinning.
I got a computer right here at least.
It's just wind totals. That's your difference. Once you hit 74, you're category one hurricane. Yeah, so it's just sustained wind totals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and the difference between hurricane categories, I mean, what do they mean? And, you know, what's the criteria on the hurricane categories? I know they got 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Once again, it's sustained winds. 1 is 74, 95. 2 is 96, 110. Then you bump into the 3s. The 3 to 5s will be considered major hurricanes. And typically you'll see a lot more tornadoes spawning off of the major hurricanes and such.
Right. So the deadliest one is the Hurricane 5.
5.
5 is the deadliest.
Okay, so leave.
Well, and you still have pretty high winds, though, even with
time to leave.
Leave.
See,
yeah,
even with the lower categories, right? I mean,
I personally, if it was at a 3, I wouldn't even be considering to stay.
All right.
It's just not possible.
Well, now, if you don't have a disaster plan, folks, please visit ready.gov or redcross.org. You can also go to the Pinellas County website under their emergency management section and get ready for the next disaster, because we are definitely overdue.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.